The following program is a presentation of CRN Digital Talk Radio and Les Kincaid. And now it's time for Wines du Jour with your host, Chef Les Kincaid.
Thank you for joining Wines du Jour. We're broadcasting tonight from Pancho's Mexican Restaurant in Las Vegas, Nevada. My special guest tonight is Mallory Nathan. She is the manager here at Pancho's, but she doesn't look like a poncho. That's the way it is, but that's the way it works. Also, we have a great California wine tonight from McIntyre Estate Vineyards to share along with a pairing of foods here. And we are going to talk with the gentleman that owns the McIntyre Winery, Steve McIntyre. He's a very unique guy, and I'm going to tell you a little bit more about him when we get him on the air. But I want you to note that he does something that hardly anybody else does, and that is he grows wine. That means that he grows grapes to make wine. That's the way they call it in California. He's a wine grower. But he's also a wine maker, which is like two big-time hats, and not too many people can handle that much responsibility, if you know what I mean. So being America's number one syndicated radio food and wine program, we bring you great information about good wines and great food each and every week. Thank you for inquiring emails sent to me from your home country, literally from all over the world, from the East Coast, from the Left Coast, from Italy, from Baja California, from Argentina, just about everywhere. Welcome. And our in-house special invited guest audience is both hungry and thirsty tonight, and they can't wait. They're getting poured a little bit of Chardonnay as we speak. Our program broadcasts, remembering that each broadcast we reflect on what we're all about, and that is wine is food. A meal is a meal, but with a glass of wine, it's a celebration. From casual gatherings to formal affairs, wine celebrates any event. Remembering the show that we'll discover lots of information and taste and flavor as we enjoy good food and paired here with excellent wines, because my favorite saying, wine is bottled poetry. I like that. If this is your first time listening to Wines Is Yours, stay tuned. If you need to know, what we don't do is we do not allow snobbery or intimidation in the room during the broadcast. Wines Is Your Food and Wine Radio broadcast is distributed in all 50 states, all around the world via radio on CRN Digital Talk Radio Network, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, AHA Radio, and on several worldwide internet outlets around the globe. And it's also available on podcast and it's free on iTunes. So listen to Wonder Radio or Warp Radio for us as well. You're listening to Wines Du Jour. I'm your host, Les Kincaid. So don't touch that radio dial. We'll be back with fun, information, and great taste right here in Wines Du Jour. But remember, a meal without wine is breakfast. How about that? Okay, I'd like to introduce to my special guest, who's the man, as I mentioned earlier, that is not only the wine grower, but also the wine maker from McIntyre Estate Vineyard. That is Steve McIntyre. Steve, thank you very much for taking time out to give us a call.
Well, my pleasure, Les. It's an honor. Thank you.
I'm sorry I can't hear what you're saying, so I don't know when to talk and when not to.
Can you hear me at this point?
I can hear you now. Perfect.
Wait, yes.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again. Thank you. Tell me a little bit about yourself. I know you're kind of a unique guy. Maybe I shouldn't say that in your face, but it's a fact. you're a rare combination, as I mentioned a little bit ago, being a winemaker and also a wine grower. It's pretty tough to grow grapes for wineries and or for your own winery, but then to take the grapes out of the vineyard and make wine with them on top of all that, that tells me that you're a pretty busy person.
Yeah, that's true, Les. I spent a lot of time in college, as you might imagine. I got both degrees, viticulture and enology, because I love school. And then once I got into the industry, I've been doing this for over 30 years now, and I couldn't decide what I liked better. So I ended up...
Steve, we've got to go to a break, Steve, so hang on. We'll be back in just a moment. Welcome back to Wines Du Jour. We're having a good time here at Pancho's, a beautiful Mexican restaurant in Las Vegas, Nevada. Actually, it's in a Summerlin area, if you're familiar with Las Vegas. That would be due west of downtown Las Vegas, if you are looking at a map. But this is a fairly new area. This is a beautiful two-story building, this Pancho's. And believe it or not, Pancho's has music 7 nights a week. We're going to be talking with Mallory Nathan here, who I mentioned is the manager, a little bit more about that. But we'll get back to Steve. Steve, I didn't mean to interrupt you because we had to go to a break, but these are what they call hard breaks. We don't have any flexibility. So continue telling your story, if you would.
Oh, thank you. No problem. At any rate, my day job is actually growing grapes for other people and was always making wine. It started out at Hans Smith & Hook, which is still a very viable brand in the San Lucia Highlands. And then as the San Lucia Highlands appellation took off, it became apparent that we could start selling our wine commercially, and we did that in 2005. And the rest is history, so they say. And we're still a small brand. We're just in 4 states making 4,500 cases a year, and just really enjoy the infamy that's taking place in the Highlands, the San Lucia Highlands here in Monterey County.
Well, that particular area that you're talking about is, as far as I'm concerned, one of the best areas in all of California. I know it's probably called Central California, but it really has its own AVA designation. In fact, I think your grapes grow in two different AVAs. The Arroyo Seco, isn't that one of them?
Yes.
And then the Santa Lucia.
That's correct, yeah. And the Santa
right.
Lucia.
Well,
I was going to say that the Santa Lucia is arguably becoming one of the 5 most important places to grow Pinot Noir and Chardonnay in the world. And that really puts it in perspective.
Well, I checked around a little bit, and they tell me that you've got yourself all together pretty well, and you and your bride have an awful lot of acreage that not only grows grapes for other wineries, but the prime stuff I'm sure you're keeping for yourself for the McIntyre brand. Tell us a little bit about your McIntyre wines, because I have to tell you, I've had an opportunity to taste them. I know a little bit about them, and, man, you do a very good job.
Well, thank you, Les. Well, the property that we're making Pinot and Chardonnay on in the Highlands, we've owned since 1987. And at that time, we couldn't sell Pinot Noir for $300 a ton. And then, of course, along came the movie Sideways, and things have changed. But in between purchasing the vineyard and the ultimate movie Sideways, it was a real tough slog. We almost sold the vineyard a couple of different times, but my wife convinced me to stay, and I'm so glad she did, because you know now we're selling Pinot Noir for $3,000 a ton, and we're keeping, as you said, the best for ourselves, and things have gotten real exciting.
That sounds good. Now, you're known to have a vineyard designated wines, block designated wines, and estate wines. That's really it. You're not doing the average run-of-the-mill Cabernet or the average run-of-the-mill Chardonnay. You're doing some very, very good quality product. I guess I just didn't look up to see what a normal retail price for your Chardonnay would be, the estate that we're tasting tonight. What kind of a price range is that in, Steve?
The estate Chardonnay is $36 suggested retail. And
yeah,
as you
it's
said,
worth
we...
every...
Well, thank
Go
you.
Ahead. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, we have three, as you mentioned, three tiers. The blend of several vineyards that we farm from the Highlands is our San Lucia Highlands, and that's Chardonnay, and that's our entry Chardonnay. That's at 32, and the estate is 36, and then the block-designated wine, Chardonnay, which is called Block K1, actually that comes from a specific portion of the estate vineyard where the vines are very uniform, and where we thin them down to a single cluster per shoot, and then bring that fruit in make wines from it and sort through the barrels to come up with the best three or four barrels. So our block wine is very exclusive, and we normally just sell that from our tasting studio at the in Carmel.
Well, I have to tell you, it's just wonderful. It's not too much of anything. It doesn't have too much of any particular type of flavor or taste, and it certainly is not over-oaked by any stretch of the imagination, but it just fills your mouth with flavor. Very, very nice. You know, I would think this Chardonnay, I'm going to tell you in a second what the chef has prepared to pair with this for tonight, but I think this would be one of the best ideas for roasted chicken that I can think about is your Chardonnay. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, that would certainly be a good combination. Yeah, our style is to minimize the processing notes and maximize the grape. It's all about the grape, and it's such a great appellation to grow Chardonnay. It's a no-brainer. It's hard to go wrong. We'll let the grape speak for itself and not get too heavy-handed with malolactic or oak.
Well, you know, most winemakers that I've talked to that are very good at what they do, they normally comment and say they try not to confuse the grapes at all and let you discover what the taste and flavor of those grapes are all about. And that's pretty much what you just told us as well. Is that not right?
Yeah, that's a great way to put it. I'll have to use that.
Well, I can tell you there's a lot of, what I think anyway, there's a lot of lime and guava taste in here, a little pineapple and peaches. I think it just makes it a lovely tasting Chardonnay, but it's not bland in any stretch of the imagination. It also has a fresh taste to it. I don't know how else to put it. It has a little zestiness to it, a little bit of nectarine, a lot of different flavors, but they're all layered. They are not confusing, if you know what I'm saying. And boy, that just makes the wine overall taste very, very good. The chef here took some chicken. Now, remember, this is a Mexican restaurant.
Yeah.
He took some chicken and some fresh mango and made a salsa with the mango chickens. And I have to tell you, this is working so well in the taste. My audience here tonight is tasting everything as I speak when it comes to this mango pollo.
That sounds wonderful.
A nice set. Yeah, a lot of people think, you know, I say all the time, and I don't know, maybe you'll agree with me, that Chardonnay is not something that just pairs with food that easily. Chardonnay is the most popular white wine in the whole world. Nobody drinks any other flavor other than Chardonnay equal. And, of course, Cabernet is the same thing for the red wine. But white wine and Chardonnay, people get in the habit of just automatically getting Chardonnay. They go into a restaurant or to a bar, and they just automatically say, I'll have a glass of Chardonnay. Most of them don't even have a clue what the brand of Chardonnay that it might be. In fact, my experience, and I don't know, you probably have this happen to you as well, is you can say, what kind of Chardonnay is it? And they tell me, white.
Yeah, it certainly has become ubiquitous with white wine, that's for certain.
Right. So it doesn't go with everything. There's no doubt about it. As far as white wine and food, my favorite is Sauvignon Blanc, generally speaking. But when you have something that's exceptional, like this estate Chardonnay that we're tasting here tonight, that's a whole different ballgame. You can put a lot of things together. And I was thinking a little bit of fish, maybe with a little lime sauce, would go very well with your Chardonnay. Or if you're from the northern part of Italy or you like Italian regional cuisine and you like the northern part where everything is based on cream, or I should say based on milk and dairy, a creamy pasta sauce would go so well with this Chardonnay. I can't imagine anything much better than that. What are some of the things you like to serve with it, Steve?
Well, I like barbecued Pacific Monterey salmon with a teriyaki sauce and barbecued on the skin. And, that can be delicious with the Chardonnay. And it really does pair well with a variety of cheeses, and that's always fun, too.
Uh-huh. Well, I think salmon. Well, salmon, of course, at least out here in the West, is probably the most popular fish that there is, no doubt about it. But I don't know how you feel about salmon. I don't think you should walk into a grocery store and just say, "Give me a pound of salmon." I think you need to find out where it comes from and so on. And if comes from Alaska, Washington, Oregon, in the western part, and it doesn't say farm-raised, or it doesn't say Atlanta, which is back east, or Atlantic, I mean, back east, that's what we don't want to eat. Our choices really are the western type, because the flavor and the taste and the health is there a lot more. And, boy, when you when you have a nice Chardonnay to go with it, you don't want to put mediocre salmon or mediocre anything else with it. You want to do the right thing. You agree?
Yeah, absolutely. We live in here in Monterey. We have a marine sanctuary, national marine sanctuary. So our salmon is absolutely delicious.
Yeah. Now let's talk a little bit real quick before you have to go about Pinot Noir. Now, I talk all the time about Pinot Noir, that it's the most difficult grape to grow. It's the toughest thing in the world to make a good bottle of Pinot Noir work, and mostly because the terroir, and I'm not trying to be uppity here, but the terroir is wrong for wherever they've planted those Pinot vines, and that's why they never end up with anything good. But if you've got Pinot planted in the right terroir, you can make an outstanding wine. And I have to tell you, folks, you're in for a treat here in about 10 minutes. We're going to be pouring the Pinot Noir, this estate Pinot from McIntyre, and it is dynamite. Now, tell us a little bit about what you've done. You have any secrets you can share with us?
I wish there were secrets, but, you know, you hit it on the head, Les. It's where you're growing. And yeah, terroir tends to be what I call a cork dork term, and I'm guilty of that. I'm a cork dork. But it really... For a layman means everything we can't control. And one of the things we can't control in our domain here in the Highlands is the wind. And it is such a huge influence on the growth habit and ripening of Pinot Noir that it takes all the mystery out of it. It really is hard to go wrong. And you know, you're given everything you need to make great wine, and it's just a matter of babysitting the results.
That's why I was saying earlier, you just kind of stay out of the way and make it happen on its own, and you'll end up with the best possible.
Exactly.
I always claim that Pinot Noir is the most fickle grape that I know about. I don't know how many varietals that there are in the world, but I know Italy has over 200 of them in Italy alone. So whatever it is, but Pinot Noir doesn't like it too hot, it doesn't like it too cold, it doesn't like it too windy, like you were talking about, or it doesn't like it too much without wind, it doesn't like too much rain, it doesn't like too little rain. It just has to be almost perfect to make it happen. But that St. Lucia Highlands that you're in, that Pinot Noir is just about destined to be an excellent wine just because of the terroir being right for Pinot Noir likes. Am I
correct? That's correct.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's talk real quick about your Merlot. Where does that come from? And tell us a little bit about it. We've got about a minute.
Sure. The Merlot comes from an appellation, the Arroyo Seco, that is about 20 miles south of our vineyard in the San Lucia Highlands. And every mile that you travel in the Salinas Valley, it's about a degree warmer. So it's in a warmer spot. I found this place that's out of the wind where I can get Merlot right if I keep the crop levels down low enough.
Steve, I'm going to have to interrupt you again. We're going to a hard break. Could you hang on and we'll get you to finish your story when we come back? We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet right here on Wines du Jour. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. We're talking with Steve McIntyre, who is the owner, winemaker, winery. He's a wine grower, which is what we call grape growers. He's a wine grower and also a winemaker. But he also knows exactly what it is he needs to be doing to put some product on the shelf that people will love. And he was talking about the Merlot just before we went to the break. And if you would, you could finish your story on Merlot, and then I got a question for you.
Sure, Les. Well, as I was saying, that we found a place in the Salinas Valley in the Arroyo Seco Appalachian where we could ripen Merlot. That's not always been the case. When I was at Hans Smith & Hook, a lot of times the Bordeaux varietals we were raising would turn out somewhat vegetal. We got a reputation in Monterey County for that. Well, I had a chip on my shoulder. I wanted to find a place where I could ripen Merlot, and we did. And I ended up naming that vineyard after my wife, Kimberly. So that's our Merlot story.
Well, that's a good one. Listen, I noticed that the three wines that we're tasting this evening, your Santa Lucia Islands Estate Chardonnay, your Santa Lucia Islands the Estate Pinot Noir, and then the Merlot that you just talked about from Kimberly Vineyards, you're about 14.3 to 14.5% alcohol. Now, I've been talking for a few years about high alcohol wines, and I suggest that they be somewhere between 13 and maybe 14 and a half or 14 and three quarters, but higher than 15 or 16 just makes them extremely difficult to pair with food. And as far as I'm concerned, as you heard earlier, my slogan is wine is food. So if it doesn't pair with the rest of the food, it's got too much alcohol in it. It has nothing to do with alcohol as far as drinking and staggering and so on. We're just talking about pairing it with food because the medical profession recommends that you have one or two glasses of wine with your dinner meal every day. And that's what I suggest as well, and I'm pretty sure you feel the same way. The bad part is if you think wine is an alcohol thing and it's like gin and vodka and tequila and so on, you're absolutely incorrect. Wine is food, and that's the way I'd like to see you try it. If you're going to do the party on Friday and Saturday, take something else besides wine and keep that wine for a good meal at home. You agree with that?
I totally agree with that, Les. It's a great way to look at it. In fact, I've advocated, somewhat tongue-in-cheek, that the USDA ought to change the food pyramid and put wine right up there at the top.
That makes sense, too.
You
absolutely
bet.
Nothing wrong with that. Well, 14 and a half and lower is exactly what it should be, in my opinion. I just have to say again, I love your Chardonnay, and I'm not a real big Chardonnay fan by comparison to other things because I think of most wine as what pairs well with food. And I can't wait to try a little bit of the salmon that you mentioned with a little bit of lemon sauce to go with that Chardonnay in the future. And
sounds
I want to
great.
Mention something about your, yeah, something about your Pinot Noir. Again, every Pinot Noir, to me, the first thing I taste in almost anybody's Pinot Noir is cherry. And you have, of course, cherry here along with raspberry and plum and molasses even is in here, which is kind of unique. But I wanted to mention something about Pinot Noir that a lot of people aren't familiar with, and that is it goes so well with grilled meats. And one of my favorite grilled meats to go with Pinot Noir is lamb. How do you feel about that?
Oh, that's shish kebab. There you go.
Yeah, almost any kind of game is really good. And, of course, if you're from Australia or if you happen to go to a nice exotic restaurant, if they have ostrich and you don't know what the hell am I going to get to go along with this ostrich on the menu, and the answer is a good Pinot Noir. I just think you would be happy, a happy camper, if you will, by doing that. Steve McIntyre, I want to thank you very much. I want to thank you very much for your time this evening. I spent a little bit more time with you than you planned, I know, and I know you've got some things to do. I appreciate what you're doing. We're really happy to have you and feature your wines here on Wines du Jour, and I'll let you go.
Well, thank you very much, Les, and keep up the great work.
You bet. Thank you. Okay, I wanted you to talk with the manager, or I should listen to the manager here at Poncho's, because she is not only knowledgeable, but she's also pretty good. Yeah, we have to go to a break pretty quick. When we come back, I'll introduce you to her. Her name is Mallory Nathan, and she's the manager here at this beautiful Poncho's Mexican restaurant. McIntyre Wines, Poncho's Mexican food. How bad can it be on Wines du Jour? So remember, you can listen to us each week right here, this very same time, literally all around the world. We're in all 50 states, every cable company in America, 6 internet outlets. We're good. Got to go to a break. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wine du Jour. Poncho's Mexican restaurant is where we're sitting, and we're having a great time tasting some of the food here and also the McIntyre wines. One of the reasons the food is so good is the fact that the manager not only knows what she needs to do to make the restaurant successful, but she's able to help the people in the kitchen improve on the Mexican cuisine. Her name, as I mentioned before we went to the break, is Mallory Nathan. And Mallory, thank you very much for taking time out of your schedule to spend some time with us this evening.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Les, for being here.
You bet. Tell us a little bit about this restaurant called Pancho Villa's Mexican Restaurant. No, I mean Poncho's Mexican Restaurant.
Yeah, absolutely. We have started in Southern California. We are a landmark in Manhattan Beach. We have been there for just over 38 years, and we've decided to move here to Las Vegas. We have been open now for, we've just reached our six-month mark. So we're brand new and still going strong with great authentic Mexican cuisine and in a great community.
Well, you know, one of the things I like about Poncho's, and I'm going to read you a short sentence. Poncho's is an experience, not just a restaurant. Now that, to me, says an awful lot. It's an experience and not just a place to eat. That means they know what they're doing, and or at least they try to do the best. And, of course, they're very successful at it here. This place does well. And, incidentally, I mentioned this before we went on the air to our audience, but surprisingly, they have 7 nights a week live music, starting at 6:30 in the evening right here at Poncho's. Tell us a little bit about how that program works.
Absolutely. Every evening, starting Monday through Friday, 6:30 p.m., we have live entertainment. We do a solo guitarist named Edgar Bravo on Mondays. We have a lot of fun on Tuesdays. We do a rumba night on Tuesdays with Caesar and Julio.
Rumba? Rumba? That's the Mexican, isn't it? Or South American, anyway.
Absolutely. Wednesdays and Thursdays, we have the band Stefan Rock. We're actually playing live in the restaurant right now. They play till 9:30 p.m. I recommend checking them out. They're really wonderful. Fridays are a new fun night for us. We do a Beatlemania show starring Bobby Taylor, who is part of the Beatle Experience at Planet Hollywood. On Saturday, we do a live rock and roll. The bands change monthly. Right now, we are featuring the Saints of Las Vegas. And on Sunday, we have lovely Rick Duarte. He's a great cover band, and he invites his friends to come up and play with him. So 7 nights a week, starting at 6:30, live entertainment.
You know, music in a restaurant sometimes is a little bit annoying because the bands are a little loud and so on and so forth. One of the beautiful things about here is the way they have it set up and the way that the bands perform. They don't try to drown you out. They're not the rock and roll meeting somewhere in a big ballroom. This is in a dining room, and it becomes not necessarily strictly background music, but practically, and yet it's loud enough to where you can get into the mood, if you will. And that's why they're doing it, and it's working very well. The smart thing that they've done here is instead of most bars and restaurants, if they have live music, they start around 9 o'clock at night. Well, people that have come in for dinner, they're finished with their dinner, and they're gone before the band even starts. So that doesn't make sense. There's no entertainment for the customers, and unless the band has a lot of people following them, there's not going to be anybody in the restaurant by comparison to what there was at dinner time. So by starting them at 6:30, you're actually helping not only the customer enjoy their meal more. It's just like having wine with your dinner as opposed to not. You have a little music with your wine and your dinner. You're going to be entertained a lot more. And who knows? You might want to stay a little longer. Maybe do a dance or two before you go. Can you do that?
We do encourage dancing.
You do? Okay.
Love dancing at Poncho's.
All right. So you've been here 6 months and you love it, right?
I do.
And that's the way that works. Well, you're doing a beautiful job. Everybody here really appreciates, I shouldn't be telling you this probably, but everybody here really appreciates what you do. The things that you tell them that you want to make sure they do that they had forgotten or had never done before makes the overall dining experience as a customer better. And that's truly what it's all about, is it not?
That's what it's all about. And we have a great staff here, so friendly. Everyone's like family, so we really encourage everyone to come check us out.
Yeah, not to mention the training. So, you know, there's nothing more discouraging. Let me just give you an example of what happens in a, let's call it an average restaurant. We're not talking about this one. We're talking about an average restaurant. You have coffee with your, let's say you're at lunch, and you have a sandwich and coffee. Your coffee is about three-fourths gone, and finally the food server comes over and asks if you'd like to have some more coffee. You say yes. They pick up your cup and saucer. They take it over to the edge of the table, and they have a coffee pot. They fill it up, and then they sit the coffee down right there at the edge of the table where they're standing. They don't put it back where they found it. That's a major mistake, folks. Why do you have to pick up your cup and put it back where it was? You know what I'm saying? They're the ones that should be doing that. Another one is water. You need more water. They pick up your glass, they fill it, they sit it down right there. It belongs, water belongs in the restaurant, in case you didn't know it, at what we would call 12 o'clock. That would be noon, or the top of your plate, if you will. Always. I don't care if it's a French restaurant or anybody. It's always at 12 o'clock. And then your wine glasses that come to the right, you start out with champagne. That would be the first glass. White wine would be the second glass. Red wine would be the third glass. I bet you not 50% of the restaurants around the country know that. They're liable to put it anywhere. Most of them put the red wine first, which is a mistake. We've got to go to a break again. When we come back, I'm going to talk to you a little bit about this beautiful Mexican dish that's paired with the Pinot Noir, and we're going to talk about the taste and flavor of the Pinot Noir and, of course, the price. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back coast to coast and around the world on the Internet at Pancho's Mexican Restaurant with Mallory Nathan. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back right after these messages. Back to Wine Du Jour. Mallory Nathan is my guest tonight, the manager here at this beautiful Pancho's Mexican restaurant. And they've just poured the Pinot Noir, which I want to talk about in a moment, but they've paired it with something that's very unique. Birria Chef Raymond. What the hell is that? Tell us a little bit about it, but I tell you what, it's very, very tasty. Tell us.
So the birria that we have is a dish that our chef in Manhattan Beach, Chef Ramon, has created. I can't give away all of our secrets and the recipe, but he uses a bunch of different special herbs and seasonings and guajillo chilies, which are give it a little bit of kick. Birria is a traditional dish in Mexico. It's very famous throughout all of Mexico, and it's got centuries-old recipes that different families create. So birria is a very special dish to us here at Pancho's.
Yeah, that's a good thing. If you can remember the name birria, it doesn't have to be Chef Ramon necessarily. I'm not bad-mouthing it, but birria is the product. You can go anywhere in Mexico and say, I'd like to order some birria, and you've got something, even though you can't speak Spanish. They'll know exactly what you mean. That's a good thing. Well, tonight, we have that McIntyre Pinot Noir from St. Lucia Highlands Estate. This is estate grown now. And you know what estate grown means? That just simply means that the winery owns or has long-term management for growing the grapes. So they oversee the growing of the grapes. And, of course, we know now that Steve McIntyre, that's what he does anyway, but that's what makes it an estate wine. Otherwise, he couldn't put estate on the label, which he did, of course, with his Chardonnay and with this Pinot Noir. But in addition to that, he has 14.3% alcohol, which is perfect and right on line. And because it comes from the St. Lucia Highlands, it is prized lamb. I have to tell you, it's very expensive, and the weather conditions, or the terroir, as we like to say, is absolutely perfect. So what we end up with is, as I mentioned when we had Steve on the line, is that the cherry flavor. You can definitely taste the cherry, but I want to mention a few other things that I like and then maybe a couple things to go with it in addition to this birria. The plum is very definite in this particular Pinot Noir. I think it's very good. It has a real complex palate. That's the way I'd like to look at it. It's not an everyday Pinot. This is a far superior Pinot to your average. So not only is the price a little bit higher, but it's also one that I suggest you drink, not the average one. Average Pinot Noir is kind of boring, and frankly, a lot of people say, no, I don't like Pinot. Well, that's a mistake because it's just that they haven't tasted anything that's worth drinking, if you know what I mean. And I'm not trying to badmouth it. But I mentioned to Steve that one of the things I love with Pinot Noir is lamb. And, boy, you get your grill going, put a little extra virgin olive oil on whether it's the leg of lamb or whether it's lamb chops or whatever part of the lamb you might have. Extra virgin olive oil, salt and pepper, put it on the grill on medium-high temperature and let it cook until it's medium to medium rare, not overcooked, because it's going to, when you take it off the grill, it's going to continue for about 5 minutes. So if you take it off when you think it's perfect, it's going to be overcooked. If you take it off when it's just about right, that's the perfect time to take it off because it will be perfect when you get time to serve it. But this Pinot Noir is 14.8% alcohol, and the price of this is $42.99. So my suggestion is don't buy five bottles of mediocre. Buy one or two bottles of the best there is, and this is one of the best there is. $42.99, worth every penny of it, no doubt whatsoever. I noticed a little bit of ginger in this particular Pinot, which you don't normally see in Pinot Noir. You get the tobacco and the vanilla, which comes from the oak barrels that it was aged in. That's pretty common in all Pinot Noir. But if the grapes are really good when they come out of the vineyard and go to the winery, then the winemaker, like Steve said, just kind of stands back and goes through the process without trying to persuade the wine to taste anything different than its natural way. And that's what he's done here. And I have to tell you, if you don't like this Pinot Noir, then you just don't like Pinot Noir, because this is one of the best around. There's no question about it. And, of course, birria is also a good thing to serve along with it. Birria is like a shredded meat.
Yep, it's a shredded beef.
Shredded beef, and it's put in a small little tortilla, mm-hmm. And you eat it like a taco.
Absolutely, you can eat it like a taco. We also offer here just a birria plate that comes a little bigger, served with rice and beans, and you can choose your choice of taco or tortilla if you'd like to eat it in a flour or corn tortilla. But it is great by itself or in a...
Yeah, and one of the good things that I happen to like, I'm not a big taco fan, only because with whether it's cabbage or lettuce, tomatoes, onions, all the other stuff on top of it, I'd like to keep it off of there. And guess what? When you order birria, it doesn't have all that stuff. You can taste the meat and you can taste the tortilla and the combination of the two with a little sip of Pinot Noir, I'm telling you. You're ready to become a Mexican citizen. I mean, it's that good. tell us a little bit more about what you're doing. You've got Sunday, 7 days a week, not just Sunday, but 7 days a week. But what is your slogan that you like people to understand about your restaurant?
We really preach here that Poncho's is an experience. It's not just a restaurant. We have built Poncho's to look like a Mexican hacienda, and we have plenty of artifacts and great antiques and stained glass windows, and it's hand-painted Mexican tiles, so it's very pretty, and it's just something to check out. Even if you're not hungry, it's a really great place.
All right. Got to go to a break. We'll talk a little bit about their Merlot. Now, I usually say something nasty about Merlot if you're from a different state, but I'm not going to do that tonight. We'll be back right after these messages. Welcome back to Wines du Jour. We're talking with Mallory Nathan here at Poncho's Mexican Restaurant. We had Steve McIntyre, on the program a little bit earlier, And we've been talking mostly just the latter part of the show here so far about the food. And birria was something that's good. We're going to come up with our third wine, which is the McIntyre Merlot from the Kimberley Vineyards, which is southeast of the Lucia area. And I just want to mention that this is something that most everybody that loves Mexican food loves this dish. It's made with pork, not beef. We've already had beef, and we've had vegetables. Now we're going to have a little pork. And it's called Chile Verde. Everybody is familiar with the name Chile Verde. Now you know what the heck it means when it comes to taste. And wait till you get this along with a little bit of this Merlot. I think you're going to be very, very happy. Tell us a little bit about your Chile Verde.
The Chile Verde is a great dish here. Again, homemade, made fresh daily, and it is in a semi-spicy green chili sauce. It has just a bit of a kick, but nothing too much.
So the green part is from tomatillos, am I correct?
Absolutely, yep, a tomatillo sauce.
Yeah. So many people think of red, you know, everything's red with tomatoes and so on. But if you know about tomatillos, you will discover, if you have a food processor, that you can make some great sauces with tomatillos that don't have any red whatsoever. If you like heat, you can put a little bit of cayenne pepper, or you could put some red pepper flakes in there with the tomatillos. Maybe a little bit of vinegar. I happen to think vinegar is good. Maybe champagne vinegar, which is one of my favorite to add, that a lot of people have never had for some reason. But champagne vinegar is something you should have in your kitchen to make vinaigrettes or whatever the case may be that you use with vinegar. And then also I recommend that you have rice vinegar in your pantry as well, because rice vinegar is very mild. And depending on what you're going to use the vinegar for, you might choose champagne, which is a kind of a bold flavor, or you might want to use rice, which is a very mild flavor. Or you can use regular old, white vinegar. That's okay, too. But these others have a little more taste, if you know what I'm saying. So this Merlot has, I think, great plum taste to it. Incidentally, a couple people asked me, how much is the Merlot? We know that the Chardonnay was $36, and we know that the Pinot Noir was $42.99. How much is the Merlot? $25.
Oh, what a deal.
Everybody likes it a little better now, don't you? it's very, very nice, and it comes from the southeastern part of the San Lucia Highlands in an area that they have called Kimberley Vineyards. Kim is Steve's wife, incidentally, just to throw that in. But plum, cherry, little blackberry, this has a nice earthiness to it, and this is one of the reasons with that earthiness that the Chile Verde goes so well with the two. So they're going to be bringing that out here shortly for everybody to taste, and I think that's a good thing. You know, the time flies when you're having a good time here. And this show this evening has been just a real pleasure. Steve McIntyre is very knowledgeable, gave us a lot of insight. We talked about great wines, and then we tasted his Chardonnay, which I think is one of the better Chardonnays on the market. Then we tasted his Pinot Noir, which I think is probably the best around the country. And now we're tasting the Merlot. We've got to go to a break. Oh, we got to go home, I guess. That's what the case is. What do I know? I want to thank you for listening to Wines du Jour. I want to thank my radio broadcast engineer, Jeremy Knight, for his work. Thanks for choosing and listening to Wines du Jour from the left coast, from the east coast, from all around the world on the Internet, from Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm Les Kincaid. Good night, everybody.